Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood. Thank you for listening. No John Paul, no Mary Margaret today, but we have some very special guests both on the phone and in the room with us. We'll introduce them in just a moment. If you haven't taken 30 seconds to head to iTunes and leave a rating and review, we sure would appreciate it. We'd love to hear what you think, as well as see 5 golden flashing stars. So head over there and do that. While you're there, hit subscribe. And man, that would just be awesome. We would love it. So that out of the way, let's get into our episode for today. I'm really, really excited about this for you guys that are going to be listening. We have an awesome opportunity. So we're going to be talking about an opportunity here, and that is special, tailor-made for you as youth pastors, something to do with the teenagers in your group that I think will be a great opportunity to minister to them, maybe bring some friends, things like that. And we have an awesome opportunity to have some people on the podcast today that are all linked up around a movie that's coming out the week of February 22nd.
That's right.
And the movie is called Run the Race. Here at Lifeway, we've had the blessing to be connected with the movie. So we've seen some early stuff on it. There's going to be a Bible study coming out in conjunction with the movie. But I have in the studio today and on the phone, Trey Brunson, who's one of the executive producers of the movie. On the phone is Robbie Thibault, another executive producer. And then Jake McIntyre, writer, producer.
And actor,
the inception of the story. Yeah, like it started with you. Yeah.
And I also drive the bus home. I do whatever it takes.
That's right. Well, we are really grateful that all three of you would carve out time to be on the podcast today to talk about the movie. And most importantly, to talk about kind of the heart of the movie and where it came from and the opportunity that student pastors have to use this, the conversations that it can bring up. With their teenagers. So that's one of the things that I wanted to just jump in right away. So Jake, where did this story first start for you? How did it come about? And if you want to kind of give the flyover of what the movie is and description, yeah, That'd be great.
Yeah, 100%. So it's about these two brothers growing up in a really small town. Their mom had passed away from cancer when they're real little. Their dad's kind of a runaway drunk. And so it's these two brothers just kind of growing up in their grandma's old hand-me-down house, and they're just trying to figure out what life's about. They're trying to get out of this town by either a football scholarship, track scholarship, any way possible. So it's just them going for the dreams up against an enormous amount of adversity. So how the story originated is, of course, I'm from Texas. I have 5 brothers, and I grew up in a small town. And so, you know, you write what you know. And so I know about playing sports. I know about being competitive. I know about going to church on Sunday. And then I know about living in this small town thinking that your dreams are so, so far away and just trying to figure out how to go after them.
Yeah. I think one of the unique things about this movie in particular in the Christian movie scene is that this movie was done with the teenager in mind the whole way through. So it's not just a movie that a teenager would like, but that you had them in your mind as you guys were all thinking and dreaming about this movie. So yeah, Talk about why that was an important choice in approaching this.
Yeah, so Jake and I met at Dallas Baptist University in 2004. We were in a spiritual formations class, and the professor told a horrible joke, and we were the only two who laughed. So afterwards, like, a lifelong friendship was formed over bad Baptist jokes.
Yes.
So around that time, you had Matt Chandler at the Village Church, and everything was exploding for him. And his whole message of, man, you can be around Jesus and not get Jesus, just was, I think it opened our eyes to what was happening with so many of our friends. And so this story really tracks along, ironically, with Matt. Are you tracking with me?
Right.
It tracks along with what Matt Chandler was saying. You see the non-believing brother. He can quote scripture to you, but he doesn't know Jesus. And we wanted to almost unpack what that means, to not just know Jesus, but to surrender with Jesus. And I think there's a lot of kids who grow up. I grew up. My dad's a pastor. Yeah. You grow up in church, and you hear all this stuff all the time, but it doesn't become personal until you surrender to Jesus. So I think that's why it's written, because it was high school for us. It was life for us.
I honestly wanted to take a look at it, because when you grow up, you hear, you know, the decisions you make from the age of 16 to 24 are going to determine the rest of your life. So you hear that. And there's a lot of pressure. And there are some big decisions like that. Where do you go to school? Who do you marry? What job do you want or career do you start out in? And so we wanted to see the focal point, the two leads, we wanted them to be around that age, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old, trying to figure out what choices do I make and how is this going to impact for the rest of my life. They're the stars of the show.
Yeah. So you mentioned a part of the story is kind of the runaway alcoholic dad. And I know there's a scene in the movie where there's a confrontation between the two brothers about, and the dad is there. And there's this kind of this moment where I forget which one, but the one brother has this moment of like, you've never been around. Like
Zach.
Yeah.
Just kind of leaves the diner.
Yeah. So as you have this alcoholic dad type character, where did that come? Did you encounter other teenagers along? Like, what influenced that specific thing? Because I do think in the world of student ministry that you've really hit a nerve there.
Yeah.
With sometimes dads are the runaway dad or the alcoholic dad or whatever. And I think that's a theme that student pastors are going to be able to latch on to and say, okay, now maybe we have a way to talk about this out in the open when it's kind of a taboo, awkward, how do I approach this thing?
100%. Yeah, we wanted to show. So everything that actually happened in the movie, except for one thing, but about over 90% of the movie either happened to me, my brothers, or one of my best friends. And so had a friend growing up whose dad was just never there.
Yeah.
He wasn't necessarily a complete alcoholic, but he was hurting, man. He was running from a lot of things in his life, and he was using alcohol to cope. And he just was never there, and he just missed everything. He just never showed up. So we just wanted to show a dad who just wasn't showing up and was obviously kind of on a downward spiral away from the brothers because when he's not there, it grieves him and pains them so much. And you're exactly right. When they finally get a confrontation with him, one of the brothers is wanting to forgive, one of them is not.
Yeah.
And, man, that's just some friction that's good to see.
Yeah.
I listened to Al Mohler a couple weeks ago talk about the problem in our culture today is the absent dad. But he said it's not that dad's not there. It's that when dad's there, he's not there.
Mm. Yeah.
And you see that in this story. Michael's still around. He's just not there.
Right.
So I think that's probably more honest of an assessment of most kids' home life is that parents may be there, but they're not really engaged and they're not asking those probing questions that you need to be asked at that age and helping them process what's happening in life. The crazy thing is, as youth pastors, you shoulder that load. I mean, everybody who's listening to this right now, they know that. You get those questions. How can I, what do I do with school? I don't know where I'm going to go to college. I don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. I don't like things that are happening in my life right now, but I don't know what to do with it.
They lean on you as a dad.
Yeah. You were a high school teacher.
That's right.
Jake was a high school teacher for how many years?
Six.
You were for 6 years. I taught high school for 1 year. We got those questions every day.
Yeah.
I'm still walking with a lot of those students that I taught for that 1 year. Now, like, how many years later is that? 7 years later, I'm still walking with those students. They're still asking me major life questions.
So along that same, just in teenage world in general, along those same lines with approaching difficult topics and maybe sometimes needing an end to something that would be awkward, as well as just providing an environment where teenagers can ask questions in a safe space. How important do you think that is for a teenager growing up in those really, really critical developmental years, to have a place where they can ask tough questions in a safe environment?
Robbie, what do you think, man? You grew up in a sound home, but a lot of these kids didn't that are out there.
Yeah, no, it's, I'm the guy on the phone, so I'll jump in. Thanks for that segue, Jake. I think for, what we tried to do and set out and accomplish with this movie was not just to create a movie that asks tough questions, but that it was real and honest and genuine to what people go through every day in their lives and show something that, just could get that emotion and reaction out of people that's natural. And it's okay to think a certain way. It's okay to struggle with things. It's okay to, go through things in life But, you know, this is about brothers. It's about family. It's about, you know, coming together and supporting one another, even if you don't agree or believe the exact same thing, but it's walking alongside each other and encouraging them and, you know, in their time of need and not being judgmental, but being there to support. And so, you know, we all go through challenges and hurdles and situations in our life where we need somebody like that to walk alongside us. And so I think this is challenging. It's a challenging story, but it's real. And I think a lot of people will relate to it because it's things that they go through every day. And so, you know, we just wanted to create that so people could understand and kind of get a, you know, just a feeling that it's all right if you're going through something, but you know, it's about support and coming alongside each other.
Yeah.
That's great. Robbie, I wonder for you specifically what, and you probably talked about some of these things just in your answer there, but as you imagine, you're at the end of the movie, the movie has just played for an audience and you get to sit down with a handful of teenagers that have just watched the movie. What are some of the things you hope they're processing, that you hope they're asking, that you hope they're thinking about after watching the movie?
You know, I grew up, I'm the middle of five kids, so I'm a part of a big family. And so, you know, family's important. You know, you can love somebody and have somebody in your family that you might even disagree with choices they're making, but you still love them and you support them. And that goes, I think, with friends. And so it's these brothers in this movie and this, you know, there's a coach, Michael T. Williamson, did an amazing job in this movie. There's a, you know, he plays an amazing role. Nanny Frances Fisher plays an incredible role, you know, of support in this. You know, there's people, there's friends, and there's family that come alongside. So I would just say, you know, you want to just be there for your friends, for your family in a time of need and when they're struggling and going through something, and support them. And sometimes you might not have the words, but if you show up and you're there, I think life is all about showing up. And so I think this movie is a great depiction of just showing up in support of your family and your friends and your loved ones.
I love it. So you kind of mentioned some of the cast and some of the people mm-hmm. that were involved. How did they connect with the kind of the mission of the movie versus just, I got this acting gig, I was picked for this piece, I'm going to come in and do it? How did the cast really rally around what you're trying to accomplish?
This is pretty phenomenal. So we really feel like everyone that was in this movie, even the people that just worked on the movie as a crew, were called to it. Yeah. Michael T. Williamson, who of course was Bubba Forrest Gump, that's probably his most famous role, but he just did Fences with Denzel Washington. And he told his agent, I want to take some time off. That was an exhausting role, you know. His agent gave him our script and said, man, you need to read this. And he read it, and he said, all right, I'm in. God's telling me I need to be there in Birmingham, Alabama. Yeah. And that's exactly what he told our director. So that's an amazing story of when we got Michael T. Frances Fisher is a good friend of mine. I was actually able to do a film with her in 2012, a little small country film in Texas called Red Wing. And on the set, I was saying, I got this movie that I've written called Run the Race, and I'd like for you to take a look at it. She saw my concept trailer, she read my script, and she just said, Jake, you ever get funding for this movie, I'll show up for you.
Hmm.
And then 4 years later, I email her and I say, guess what, Frances?
Great.
And she just said, when do you want me to show up? Yeah. And she did, and she did a phenomenal job. The two leads, Tanner Stein, Evan Hofer, I remember Tanner telling me, he just said, I read the script and I really thought you were writing down my whole life.
Yeah.
As far as what I think of right now in my life and the questions that I have, this same character has the same questions.
Now, which one was he in the
movie? Lead? He is Zach.
Okay.
Yeah. So the brother that's the athlete that is going through the trials. So
yeah, he's the one that really questions God the most in the movie too. So that's man, that's great.
And that's what he said about it. He said everything in this script is an honest question that I have right now.
Wow. Yeah.
And he said, so when I'm reading this script, I feel like I'm talking to myself, and I just told my agent whatever I've got to do, I want to get in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really thought Chris Palaha owned the role of Michael.
And the dad.
What's crazy is he plays the dad who abandons his kid and then, you know, comes back later into their lives. He's an amazing dad in real life. So he was seriously acting to play that part.
Yeah.
But I think he knew how important the role of a dad is, and so he brings that role home for me. The first time I saw a screening of the film, I thought, that's what I always thought Michael would be like.
Hmm. That's really interesting. So you mentioned that this is a script that you'd written long ago. What has it been like having this script and having this idea and going through more than 10 years and finally now, I mean, we are less than a month or right at a month away from release. What's that feel like?
It's pretty surreal. It's kind of like you're standing outside of a dream.
Yeah.
And you're just watching the dream happen. Yeah. It's out of body experience. It really is, to think that, you know, 14 years ago, I'm sitting next to Trey in class going, what do you think about this? Two brothers, and then this happens, and then this happens. You know? And he's like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that in a faith-based film.
He's like, but that's good. Keep that. You know. And it was a lot of that for many, many years. And then, wrote it by hand in 2004, finally typed it up in 2008, did it again in 2011, did a 6-minute concept trailer for it in 2012. Robbie saw that in 2013, came on board.
Okay.
Then we started trying to raise the funds and figure out how we're going to do this. Then the script went from 117 pages that I wrote down to 99 pages. And so it's a matter of what do you keep in or what gets cut? How do you trim it? But the storyline has stayed the same. The Samson-sized pillars have remained the same.
Yeah.
And so now just seeing it come to fruition, seeing it about to hit theaters February 22nd, it's just, you're humbled because in the process of this 14 years, Ben, you know, we've said this is God answering over 10,000 prayers.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to do it. He's doing just fine without this movie. But the fact that he finally said, okay, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to glorify my name through it, and I'm going to use you guys, is super, so humbling. They say it's a miracle for any movie to get made, and it really is. But to do a movie that points to Jesus as the hero of
is one of the
greatest experiences of my whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned in there, in the timeline, 2013 is kind of when Robbie, because you guys met in college, and you and Trey met in college and kind of formed that relationship there.
Yeah.
And then Robbie, you came along in 2013. What were the circumstances around that? How did you hear about the movie? What kind of clicked with you that made you say, I got to be involved in this?
Yeah, so Trey had been a good friend of mine for a while.
Y'all met on Craigslist, right, Robbie?
Yeah. Craigslist.
No, I'm joking.
He answered an ad I posted looking for a friend. And, thank you.
I'm still your friend.
Yeah, so Trey sent me an email. He said, man, just check out this this concept trailer and tell me what you think. And Trey's got a big heart, but he never asks for favors. He just said, you know, what do you think? And I saw the concept trailer and immediately fell in love with the project. About a month later, we met in L.A. and had a chance to read the script and look into it. And it was just one of those moments in my life where I felt God calling me to do this project and to be a part of it. I didn't know exactly how we were going to get to the finish line, but I just felt the call of God on my heart and said, let's, you know, make this movie. And so together we just, you know, try to figure it out along the way. And it's been pretty incredible. I think you could have a movie behind the scenes of the movie, because a lot of the challenges in the movie we faced getting this project off the ground, but it's been incredible. It's been, there's been so many lessons learned along the way that have challenged us to be patient, to be grateful, to keep working hard, to be persistent, and to keep, you know, going and keep fighting for this dream. But when God calls you to do something, he calls you to do it. And you know, he says, you know, follow me and I'll take care of the rest. And he's really done that. And it's been incredible to see, to be a part of the journey. And, you know, just now with, you know, with it coming out in a month, it's nice to be here, but it's been a lot of work. And like Jake said, you know, there's been over 10,000 prayers answered for sure when it comes to this 6-year journey of mine, but even longer for Jake and Trey.
Yeah. So we had this script, we had this concept trailer, we had this idea, but we had no clue what do we do with it.
Right.
And what I loved along the way was how God would bring people to the table to create this family that would go on this journey together to make this movie. And so from Robbie's playing golf with a guy, and he calls a guy in New York who calls a guy, and Jake gets a phone call from a guy named Bill Reeves out of that telephone game.
Wow.
So if you don't know who Bill Reeves is like the godfather of faith-based films.
Yes, that's right.
Behind all of them pulling the strings somehow, he's the marketing guru for faith-based films. So he meets with Jake and I, and we have this incredible time, and he just becomes family to us, right? Like, we've been friends since 2004. We're brothers. We've been through everything together. Then God brings Robbie to the table. Then he brings Bill to the table. Then through Robbie, he brings this guy named Joe Kozakowski to the table. Joe's never met us. Joe sees the concept trailer, talks to Robbie about it, and Joe says, I'm all in. And that's how everything came together to make this. Just God bringing these people who said, we believe in you. We believe in your story, Jake, and we're going to help you do it. And that's why we're here today, man.
Yeah. That is incredible to hear about. I love, Robbie, when you were talking, you said when God calls you to do something, you just go after it, and he takes care of the rest. He takes care of the details. And that's that theme is something that we see through the film, too, is that God is there. Yes, there's questions. Yes, there's doubts, but he's going to take care of it. In the end, he is going to walk with you and be with you and guide you. How much... I mean, obviously the script was done, and then now all of these things where God has confirmed, okay, yes, keep walking this way, keep walking this way, keep walking this way. Is that something that when you watch the movie now that just screams off the page to you, even though the script was done way before all this has happened?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a mindset where you just have to go into it, and just say, you know, look, how do I define success for this? And it's, you know, when you follow out a calling from God, you know, I think you don't know what success is. Like for us, I think we all felt called to this project. And so our definition of success isn't, you know, how many, box office, sales we get. It's just, hey, man, if one person sees this movie and gets moved or motivated to follow after God, that's success. And we're just called to tell the story. And so, you know, that was kind of our mindset going in, and that's what we wanted to do. And along the way, it's been, you know, amazing to see how, you know, God's hand be on this project the whole time. And, you know, pull one person out and say, I don't want that person to be an investor. I want this person to be an investor. I want this person to be on your team. And throughout that, you can just throughout this whole, you know, process and journey, it's just, you can see God's hand, you know, moving and putting people together and just, you know, whether it's cast or shooting or, you know, just along this, you know, we have an amazing distribution partner in Roadside and, you know, just the amount of times where you can look back and just see God's hand saying, you know, this is my plan. And it wasn't necessarily, you know, our plan to get to the finish line, but God said, just, you know, wait and here, and we can look back and see that now. So that's kind of really cool to just be a part of and know that the whole time you're following something that God called you to do. And so, you know, you can have a peace about whatever, you know, comes from it.
Yeah. So you're coming towards the end of at least one phase of a 14-year journey of perseverance and calling.
Yeah.
There are probably student pastors that are listening to this podcast who are called by God to minister to the teenagers in their community. Disciple teenagers in their families that might be saying, man, I'm just not breaking through. I know I'm called to this, but I'm struggling. I'm not. And they're on their own journey of perseverance in their calling. What would you say you've taken away from your own journey of perseverance that you could say to a youth pastor, man, here's what I've learned about perseverance, stick in it?
When God calls you to something and it's truly a God-given calling, you're going to know it in your heart. And it's interesting because what you have, like Robbie just said, what you have in your mind and in your heart of what you think the finish line is going to look like, it might be completely different. Hmm. God isn't always going to guarantee you your vision. What he is going to guarantee you is more of himself.
Yeah,
and so as you pursue this God-given calling, what we have all felt as, man, it's been sanctification on steroids. It's been Jesus saying, I'm going to give you more of myself and I'm going to help you every step of the way. And this road, this journey was so hard at times that in my heart, I would just hear God ask me, Jake, are you okay if it's just me and you and the movie's never made?
Mm.
Because you better be, or else everything you wrote in that script isn't true about me and you.
Mm-hmm.
And once God would get my heart just completely changed to where I would say, all right, Lord, I'm okay. Just tell me what else to do. All I want to do is what you want me to do.
Yeah.
He would show up, and it'd be a call from Robbie Tebow. It would be a call from Bill Reeves. It would be a call from guys saying, God told me to give you a call, and let's go. Yeah. And so what I just want to encourage youth pastors is just every day just pray, God, what do you want me to do? And then you pursue that because God is going to give you more of himself, and you're going to be able to get your joy from Christ. And it's going to carry you to whatever finish line he has for you. But you're being obedient every day, and that's how you win your race. Trey, you've got a Bible verse in your kitchen right now that says what? It's right next to your refrigerator.
This will be a good test.
My wife put that up. I'm not sure. It tells you how much I'm in the kitchen.
Essentially, it was just that God is glorified in you obeying the calling, not necessarily in the results of that calling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that God's going to take care of the rest, just like Robbie said, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's in the business of moving hearts and bringing people to himself. We're just praying that this movie does that.
Yeah.
And we're encouraged because we've been able to test it in Dallas, Birmingham, and South Carolina to a lot of youth.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have found is a couple days after they see the film, we get just a plethora of emails and phone calls and text messages from the youth pastors, from the parents saying, my kids cannot stop talking about this movie and these characters and what God did in this movie. They're reading their Bible more. They're saying they want to be a better student and a better son and a better daughter. And they want to say, you know, give forgiveness to a friend that's hurt them. Just the fruit that we've been able to see already is just super encouraging for us just to say, all right, we're on the right track. Let's just keep going.
Yeah. I think personal opinion here. I think that's because the image that you guys portray in the film is a real picture.
Yeah.
You know, like these are teenagers who are dealing with real stuff that are common issues, the questions that they struggle with, the themes of the movie. They can see a little bit of themselves in all of that. And you mentioned the actor a little bit ago who plays Zach. I forget his name.
Tanner Stein.
Yeah. And that Tanner had said that some of the same questions that the character was wrestling with in terms of God were some of the same things that he was wrestling with personally. So the question here is, as you wrote the script and as it came to life on the screen, what are some things that Zach struggled with specifically? Some questions that he was having about belief in God. Is God really here? How has all of this happened to me? Is there anything that stood out specifically for you in how he was questioning?
Yeah, I just think the overall fairness of God doesn't equate to his judgment skills as far as Zach's Truett's in the movie. For instance, their mom passes away when they're younger. The brother who's a Christian is able to deal with it, walk forward with it, and with Christ. The one that was kind of, he had done the Christian dance, he had gone to church, he had been around church his whole life. He's like, God, I want nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
And so it's essentially, you know, just kind of how they react to that trial in their life.
I really appreciate that you guys were not in a faith-based film, not afraid to tackle something like alcoholism and show.
Yeah.
Hey, this is the damage and relational separation that it can cause. I'm thankful that you guys tackle head on the questioning of God and the fairness of God and the fact that, man, God's big enough for our questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times, and I think, Robbie, you may have even mentioned this earlier, there's whether it's on purpose or not, there may be from teenagers a perceived judgmentalism from people around them who are in the church when they have questions like this, and to show, hey, this is okay. God's big enough for our questions. Seek him in the questions. Yeah. Persevere with him in the questions is a lesson that that I don't think teenagers get as often as they should.
Yeah, I remember growing up, and it just didn't feel at times like God was actually there. J.B. Phillips had a book called Your God is Too Small. And I remember reading that book in college, and he said he asked kids one day, so J.B. Phillips was alive a long time ago, you know, does God understand? Ask kids, does God understand radar technology? And the kids all said, no, because they felt like, and as a kid, you feel like God's an older man, right?
Yeah.
And so that means he's disconnected from what's actually happening in my life. So when I'm a 16-year-old and a guy who was like a brother to me takes his own life, it felt like the answers that I got were too small. They didn't fit for the pain that I was feeling, which I think is what Zach goes through so much in this movie is, if God is real, why does it feel so bad? Where is he? If he's so good, if he's so powerful, why is it like this? And you think about the average kid. So I got exposed to a ton of stuff. I worked for a ministry for a few years called Christian Surfers.
Okay.
I would have all of these girls that when we are out doing an event, they wanted to come and talk to a pastor about the fact that they had been molested or raped or had some sexual thing happen in their past that had defined the way they saw themselves and the way they saw God. I had never had anyone tell me, here's how God can answer that question. Here's where God is when you feel like your life has been trashed and thrown away. God is there. God is so much bigger. And I think kids just need someone to say he's there. I think about the scene with Ginger. That's such a powerful scene in the movie where she says, God's here. He's right here for you. And Zach's struggling to understand what that means. Oh, I've just had the switch turned off the whole time. Like, he just can't seem to get it, but she keeps pursuing him. She keeps loving him. Dave keeps pursuing him, keeps answering questions. You've got this coach who steps in, and he's trying to do anything in the world to bring hope to these kids' lives. Kids today need that more than ever.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned several people.
Yeah.
And in the movie, all of these people kind of surround this situation, and all are speaking wisdom into that situation. One of the interesting things, we've just finished up some research through Lifeway that we've done over the last year on how students stay connected to the church during college. So it's about the dropout rate between high school senior and college. And what we found was the primary indicator of someone staying connected to the church in college after they've been a part of the church in high school was the number of adult spiritual mentors in their life during their high school years.
Wow.
And that's something that you guys portray in the film, is all of these people surrounding this situation and these boys and all giving wisdom specifically from how God had been in their life, right? Yeah. So they're all getting these different perspectives, but it all points people back to, I think what you guys have said, the overarching theme is like God is with you in the middle of this.
Yeah.
How, so let's talk about student ministry specifically.
Okay.
What are some ways you guys are closest to the script and closest to the movie? So Robbie, Jake, Trey, and I'd love for each one of you to kind of give a viewpoint here. What's a way that a student ministry can use this movie in the life of their ministry, in reaching people, in maybe opening the door to ask questions, discipleship? What, how do you see a student ministry using this tool?
I'll go first real fast, because this is, man, what was really on my heart when I was writing this, especially growing up in the Bible Belt right there outside of Dallas, where there's, you know, 20 churches all over the place, every corner, is that growing up, that Christianity was just part of just growing up. It was part of the society. Everybody went to church.
Yeah.
Eventually, I got all my friends at a church camp. Eventually, every single one of them went down, said a prayer, raised their hand, and most of them got baptized. I was there. Getting 10 years down the road from that, you start seeing some of my friends were truly saved, and some of my friends now want nothing to do with God. Mm-hmm. I wanted to show a story of two brothers that grew up in the church that, you know, live their life with their mom and their dad, and then their mom passes away. Both those kids get saved around the same age. But then as adversity and trial and disaster hits them, one person runs to God and clings to Jesus Christ, and the other brother does not. And then the other brother that does not eventually looks up and says, I don't have what my brother has, but I want it. And so as a youth pastor, I think you show this to every kid you'll ever get because this will spark conversation and they'll be able to identify, I'm Zach, I'm Dave. Girl might say, I'm Ginger. Yeah. Or a guy might say, I've had a nanny in my life, or that coach is like my stepdad. Whatever it is, they'll be able to identify with one of these characters. And as a youth pastor, conversations will come.
Yeah.
And people, all we really wanted was for kids to investigate Christ and run after Jesus just a little bit more than they did the day before after watching this film.
It's great.
Yeah. I had lunch with a friend of mine yesterday. His name's Aaron, and he works for a ministry in Louisville called Scarlet's Hope. And they reach out to girls who are in the sex trafficking industry, strippers, prostitutes, that kind of stuff. He told me this story yesterday that they had reached out to a girl who was a stripper, and we're trying to get a contact into the strip club to begin to minister to the girls who work there. And she had brain cancer, but had grown up in the church, just had a hard life, had just been diagnosed with brain cancer. And they show up and they're asking, hey, can we do anything for you? We have Bibles we'd like to give you. Do you need any help with anything? And all of the girls who work there were like, we don't want anything to do with you. Get out of here. She said one thing. She said, if these are real Christians, they'll love you. She died about 2 months later. Aaron was telling me a story yesterday. She died 2 months later. All of those girls came to the funeral and heard the gospel at the funeral.
Wow.
I pray that at some point the church becomes a little bit more sensitive to the fact that people's lives are really heavy and really falling apart at times. And maybe we should be the place that we will really love them if we're Christians. There are so many people in this movie who love these two brothers who are going through an unbelievably hard time. My favorite scene in the movie is when the coach gets in the dad's face and he says, your boys don't need a coach. They need a dad. And that love, that confrontation is what facilitates heart transformation in that dad's life. Maybe if we started living as Christians with the love that we've been given and pouring that into people's lives, we'd see the revival we've prayed for years. I pray that youth pastors, parents, kids, pastors of churches watch this movie and it creates this. We can change the world by loving them with the love Jesus has given us.
It's good.
Yeah, for me, I think, you know, we share Jesus every day. Every now and then we use words. And so a lot of the time it's just coming alongside people and encouraging and supporting. And I think that's what this movie shows a lot of. But when we set out to make this movie, it wasn't just to make another faith-based film. And I think for youth pastors all over to understand, our goal from the outset was we wanted to make an undeniably great film and something that whether you're Christian or non-Christian, you can go see a really good movie. Cause I think sometimes faith-based films can get a bad rap and just, you know, and just, we wanted to do it right and to do it on the best level possible because Jake wrote an amazing story and we wanted to tell it in the best way possible. And I think that that we have a really, really good movie that, you know, kids see, if adults see, you know, questions will come up and it could be actually like all across the board. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of topics and there will be a lot of discussion. And I think, you know, whether you're a teenager, an adult, whatever you're going through, I think there's a lot of things in this movie that will resonate and that people will relate to. And so I'm really proud and encouraged of you know, the final product that we have launching on February 22nd, because I think it has a chance to impact a lot of people. And, you know, my dad's been a missionary across the world for over 35 years. And, you know, he flies to the Philippines and all over and, you know, preaches and ministers and, you know, taken him 35 years to, and he's reached a lot of people, but you know, we're doing it through the platform and the vehicle of a movie, which can reach a lot of people very quickly. And so, you know, it's just, it was a goal a long time ago and a dream and that God put in Jake's heart, and it's been amazing to come alongside and to be a part of the team to put this story together and tell it. And we just pray and hope that, you know, it just hits people and impacts people in a real and positive way.
Man, thank you guys for being willing to share that. I want to give some real practical connections in how people can find out more information about the movie and some special stuff that Bill Reeves has been working on for you guys as youth pastors. You heard Bill's name mentioned a little bit earlier. So runtheracemovie.com is the place that you can go, watch the trailer, find out more information. But specifically, if you go to runtheracemovie.com and you click on group tickets, you can actually reserve a theater or a showtime for your student ministry, for your church. So maybe you're in a place where there's a network of youth pastors in your area. You guys can all get together. And here's what you're able to do. We've been saying February 22nd is the release date. You can actually, if you go to runtheracemovie.com, click on group tickets and work through that form there, you can get on February 20th, which is a Wednesday night, an early screening, an early showing of the movie before anybody else gets to see it for your student ministry, for your church to go and see. So if you want to see it early, you can do this as a Wednesday night activity for your student ministry. And the first, this is amazing right here. The first 200 youth pastors that do this, Bill Reeves and his organization are going to get pizza for your student ministry.
Yeah.
And you're going to get a huge discount on the Bible study that we've done with Lifeway students that goes along with the movie, that has movie clips and all that kind of stuff that hopefully can kind of help you have discussion around the major themes of the movie. So I want to encourage you to check that out. That's runtheracemovie.com. If you click on group tickets and work through that process there, super simple, either your own church or get some of your buddies together in the area. Bill Reeves and his group, they're going to pay for your dinner, and you get discount on the groups, the Bible study stuff. And man, this is a huge opportunity to say, hey, invite your friends. We're going to go see a movie this Wednesday night. And it opens up tons of conversation for people to begin a relationship and learn how to follow Jesus. So that's a really cool thing that Bill's doing as a part of that. And I want to make sure that you guys know that. Again, runtheracemovie.com. Anything else? Parting words that you guys would say before we head out?
Yeah, I would just say check out the website, runtheracemovie.com, and it's all there. The Bible study curriculum was written by Trey Brunson right here. So Lifeway is partnered with us on that, so we're super encouraged and excited about that. But yeah, the beautiful thing about buying out a theater is that you own the theater. For
that showing.
For that showing.
Let's be clear about that.
Yeah, you don't own the theater.
That's right.
But for that showing,
and so what we've had is a lot of youth pastors already come forward and say, I want to buy out this theater. You can get a discount on it. You can get a discount on, I mean, there'll be free pizza there. The Bible study curriculum will be there. Some other gifts I think are coming, but there'll be extra. But the good news is that you can have that theater to talk to your kids before or after the movie. Movie's only an hour and 40 minutes long. So you have time to just really use that. As where you want to give a message on Wednesday night.
And that's a great point. If your church or some buddies in the area, if you guys get together and do, you can stand up at the end of the movie, talk about whatever you want right there.
We're Baptists.
Time,
so. If you want to give an altar call at the end of our movie, we're okay with that.
That's right. That's right. We believe in that. So, all right. Well, thank you guys so much, Trey, Jake, Robbie. Thanks for dialing in. I appreciate you guys taking the time to do this so much. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We've loved it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
This has been an episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We'll see you next time.